Here with The Record here on KUOW Seattle. I'm Marcy Silman.
I'm Steve Scherer. Good morning, afternoon, Marcy.
Good afternoon to you, too.
It's right at the cusp, so sometimes I can't decide. But of course, you're right. It's six after the hour.
It's after morning.
The city council is scheduled to vote Monday on a set of regulations for ride-sharing companies like Lyft, UberX, and Sidecar in Seattle. One of the most controversial parts of the plan would limit the number of drivers each company could have on the road at any one time. Rideshare companies are calling that a death sentence. Driver caps aside, most people agree that this unregulated industry needs standards when it comes to things like safety, but the industry is so new it's hard to tell what will and what will not work. Last fall, California became the first state to pass regulations on rideshare companies. Those issues are regulated at the state level in California. Carolyn Said is a reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle. She's been covering the developments in the rideshare economy. She says California regulations are focusing on safety.
There are regulations about insurance, there are regulations about driver training, and there are regulations about vehicle inspections. There's 26 regulations in total, but those are the three big categories that really have to do with public safety.
Is there anything in particular when you look at those regulations that you see? What are the requirements for insurance? What are the requirements for training, vehicle inspection?
So the requirements for a lot of those are a lot looser than the requirements that taxis have to face, which is one of the big areas of controversy. For insurance, they're required to have $1 million liability policy on top of whatever policy the drivers have at the personal level. Remember, these are not professional drivers generally, other than the Uber drivers. Most of these are freelance people in their own vehicles. Now, that's a big issue because their personal policies may not cover them when they're actually driving for commercial use. In terms of driver training, they're just supposed to have a program in place that they show the PUC. Most of them have fairly simple programs, like little PowerPoints that you click through, or driver training that's definitely less than 2 hours. And in terms of vehicle inspections, there's a 19-point checklist that they are supposed to comply with, but there's not a lot of oversight of how they comply with it. They can just say that they're doing it. They don't necessarily have to have an outside authorized firm like the way you take your car in for a smog check here in California. They can just have somebody drive the car in, and then they walk around with a checklist and said, yeah, it has windshield wipers, yeah, it has four tires that are all working, and that kind of thing.
Really? So the PUC has come up with these regulations, but they're not enforcing the regulations?
So far, I would say that is the case. The PUC doesn't really have a huge staff. There's four inspectors for the whole state of California, and I believe they also oversee limousine drivers.
Well, the commission said the commission is aware that transportation network companies are a nascent industry. So when the California cab companies hear something like that, they must get a little nervous. What do they think about the regulations?
The cab companies aren't happy because they say the regulations are a lot lighter than what they have to comply with. For instance, the cab companies have insurance in their cars that is 24/7. Whether or not somebody is driving for the service, whether or not there is a passenger in the cars are insured. The cab companies have more extensive training for their drivers, and the cab companies have their inspections more regulated too. So they say it's not fair that it's not a level playing field, that they have much higher expenses than these companies, and that the companies can just go out and get freelance people to start driving in their own car with very, very little upfront investment.
In Seattle, taxi companies are capped. Are there medallions as deer in California?
Oh, absolutely. It varies from city to city, but basically every city has a limit on the number of medallions. And of course, there are not caps on the new ride companies, although that's your big controversy.
San Francisco is looking to impose additional regulations. What would those regulations perhaps look like, and would caps
be part
of it?
Well, that's a good question. Actually, the supervisors just had their first hearing on the topic last week. There's a lot of big questions. The first question is whether they even have the authority to do any regulations, because state regulators already stepped in and said these are under our purview because they are not street hails. It's a new category that they're calling transportation network companies. Now, in Seattle, you're looking at having just 150 cars per service on the road at any one time, and the services, in reaction to your move forwards there last week, they revealed that each one of the three main services has about 1,000 drivers, so they're saying that would kill them.
Yeah. Well, is it possible that the regulators in California or at the city level in San Francisco are looking at what Seattle is
Absolutely.
Proposing.
In fact, at this San Francisco supervisors meeting, they referred several times to the Seattle cap. The hearing that they had was heavily driven by the taxi drivers. I mean, they did not have representatives from the transportation network companies. So it's in very early stages. in San Francisco or any California city, it might actually take an action by the state legislature for the city to be able to step in and impose its own regulations on top of the state PUC regulations. It's just not clear that they have that authority.
In San Francisco, how popular are the ride-sharing companies?
They are usually popular. Consumers here have really voted with their wallets and with their smartphones, and the taxi industry didn't have competition for many years and didn't have a need to adapt to changing times. Taxis now are also offering smartphone hailing, which is a good thing for everybody.
Right. Did the taxi companies complain about a loss of business?
Yes. They all say that business has declined dramatically, and also many of the cab companies are having trouble finding drivers to drive for them, because if you just go out in your personal vehicle and start driving, you don't have any expenses from the get-go. You give a percentage, of course, to the company you're driving for, but you can drive for just 2 or 3 or 4 hours here and there, and you have a lot more flexibility, and you have the ability to potentially make more money. So maybe 20 to 25% of taxi drivers are actually now driving for these services because they see it as more lucrative.
That was Carolyn Saeed of the San Francisco Chronicle. San Diego and Los Angeles are considering regulations on rideshare companies. Two bills in the California state legislature would give localities more jurisdiction over regulating rideshare companies. We may see a vote in Seattle on these companies as early as Monday. This is The Record.